Jaguars Digital. Jaguars, Jaguars Digital. Jaguars Drive Time. Ryan Sexton. John Osier. Ashlyn Sullivan. Jaguars Drive Time starts right now.
Good morning. Welcome to Jags Drive Time on a Tuesday here in Jacksonville. Recouping a bit from a busy week and weekend surrounding the NFL draft. Lots of thoughts, lots of things to share with you here this morning. Ryan Sexton along with John Osier and Ashlyn Sullivan. Hey guys, how are you?
Good morning. Good.
Big day for me, Ryan. And to celebrate, I've decided to go with the light shirt, dark blazer look.
Do you know what he's talking about?
I don't know. Probably because he didn't cut himself shaving. That's probably why it's a big day.
I heard about that.
Yep.
It was a scene.
So I'm stepping out today.
Why is it such a big day for you?
Oh, it's not.
You have things to say, though.
Post-draft. Oh, I'm ready.
Really?
I'm ready.
So the NFL draft ended on Saturday night. I think we were all ready for it to be done. By the time 3 days gets through, it is rigorous. But there was this thought from Daniel Jeremiah and the folks on the NFL Network about the quality of the Jags roster. Do we have that? Can we run that? Let's go ahead with that one now. Because it caught me, I don't know, off guard isn't the right way to describe this. Here it is.
If you look at a team that I thought hit a home run, Mike, Jacksonville might be the most talented roster in the NFL coming into this draft. And you add Taven Bryan, DJ Chark, and Ronnie Harrison, all big-time players from the SEC. That roster is scary good.
So he's on, by the way, Jaguars.com Live tomorrow at 1 o'clock Eastern time. And I want you to hold that thought. Believe
it or not. I love, by the way, how you made it look like Max is already back there asking if he happened to have the clip. Of course he had the clip. We've been playing this show for 2 days.
I know.
But good job anyway, Max.
Max, we need a confidence cam so folks can see you. Hold that thought, okay? I want to get back to it before the show is over. But that thought sort of catapulted us into the thought that this Jaguars draft was really significant for this team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it wasn't sexy. There wasn't the quarterback or the high dollar or big money or big player on offense, the tight end that we had heard so much about. And I don't want to grade it. I mean, grading drafts is a fool's errand at this point. But it really seemed like it was a very, very good draft for this. Very significant in the sense that it keeps the funnel filled with talent.
Well, it needs to be a good draft. When you look back on it in 3 years, we need to look back on it and say what we said on Saturday night, that Harrison, Bryan, Richardson,
Chark
are guys that you need to look back and say, whoa, they were right. These guys are now starting in their third year. They're in their third year of contracts. They're your starting safety. They're your starting wide receiver. They're your big-time receiver that you were looking for. And they didn't quite look that way as rookies, maybe, because I don't think they're going to play a whole lot. I think Chark will, and I think Bryan will have a role. But it needs to play out the way we think, because Bryan, as we've talked about, this is a team that now has to transition from, wow, what a great free agency they had, to, wow, look at how they're drafting and developing. And the guys we just mentioned, along with Smoot, who was drafted last year, I think need to be the core of that. And to me, that's a huge – it won't be the storyline next year, but it'll be the storyline that we need to look back on next February and check and see how it worked out, because it'll shape the future of this franchise for the next 2 or 3 years.
All right, Ashton, how about Big Thing One?
Big Thing One, best player available. That's exactly what Taven Bryan was at pick 29 in the first round of the draft. A lot of people were surprised that this team went defense, but Doug Tom and Dave Caldwell all said that they were going to take the best player available regardless of position. And, guys, he fits. For a lot of reasons.
Well, I missed it, Brian. I mean, we talked about it on the show.
We talked about defense
as a possibility, but I kept saying no. It's going to be tight end. It's going to be offensive line, because I just fell into the trap of they've got to keep looking at building their offensive line. I was thinking more immediate, more go now, but they showed they are thinking about the future, and they're thinking about it the way you're supposed to think about it. And, you know, I don't want to overstate it and say they absolutely learned the lesson of the 90s, because we've talked about that so much, but it feels like they're doing it the right way in terms of, clearly Bryan was a need pick. I mean, a best available player pick because in no way was it a need pick. It was unbelievably not a need pick.
I'll tell you how it was a need pick. It's a need pick in 2019.
Right, but that's not how people typically think of need.
They're thinking the season.
So let me enlighten people then, right? They didn't live through the 2002, you know, the post-salary cap disaster that was here, right? I lived through every single play of it, and it wasn't always – in fact, in many cases, it was always bad, right? Not in 07, but there were moments where you wondered why, how are the Jaguars going to compete on a Sunday afternoon? They didn't have the same level of talent
because
they didn't take care of their cap. It was clear to me with this draft that Tom Coughlin learned the lessons of the past. Yes, not a need player today. Totally agree with you, but – the salary cap says it's going to be need next year because Marcell Dareus and Malik Jackson and Calais Campbell are about $40 million in salary next year.
Right.
$40 million. Well, that's about as much as you are over the cap. Now, I'm not saying the Jaguars are going to release all three or even two of the three.
But you've got to rework things enough that it's hard to imagine all of them.
And here's the key. Without pushing the money forward. See, that's what the Jaguars did in the late 90s and early part of the 2000s. They just took the money, moved it back into post-2000-whatever-year draft, right? They just moved it out, and eventually the bill came due. It's like a credit card. You keep spending and only paying the minimum balance. At some point, they say, we want our money.
Oh, been there.
Yeah. And the Jaguars were at that point. So this absolutely is a need pick. It's not a need pick for today. It's a need pick for 2019. You got to have a young, talented player to plug in when you do have to readjust your roster, and they will.
And this is not the first. It's not like they looked at this draft and said, oh, well, we better start planning for the future. They did free agency different in terms of most of these guys are releasable after 2 years.
Right.
So it's set up to where you could do free agency as long as you were smart in when you let the guys go, that they can do what we're talking about and not be, I guess, crippled is the best word going forward.
Well, back in 2002 when they had to gut the team because of the salary cap, there were no players behind the good players that left. In this case now, you have a young, high-impact defensive lineman should you decide to move on. And I think it bears saying here. This is not – Dave Caldwell is not out there talking about this. Mm-hmm. He wants his team focused on this year. But when you look at it big picture, this is absolutely a need pick for this franchise. I should also say the way that John Idzik and Dave and Tim Walz structured contracts, if Calais Malik and Marcell wanted to take salary reductions in 2019 to stay a part of this, they could.
Sure.
Because there's no bonus money. The bonus money is all gone, eaten up this year.
Right.
So when Dave says they can handle it, sure. They can handle it as long as those players want to be part of what they're doing here. But the big picture is the move is a need pick in the sense that you always need to have young, less expensive talent in the pipeline for when the older players need to be replaced.
And we got off track a little bit from Taven Bryant. I think because people were so focused on tight end offensive line, and we talked about it, and that was what all the mocks were, that people were surprised and therefore didn't like – I mean, some people didn't like the pick for that reason.
A lot of people just didn't know who he was.
Right, and that was a big factor in it. But this is a guy who was mocked by many people somewhere in the top 20. A lot of people thought the Falcons were going to take him. I think it was two picks for the Jaguars or somewhere around there. So if you talk to the guy, listen to him, watch him, it's easy to see why they made the pick. It feels like a very safe pick in terms of the chances that he'll work out and be a good player.
Word was, knock on him was that he only had one real good season at Florida. Yeah. You covered him at Florida. Your thoughts on him?
I like just the way he handles himself. I think he's very blunt and to the point and honest. I think he'll mesh really well in this locker room. But yes, very talented. I know they said that he's really aggressive when he gets off the ball, which is something Doug really likes. So I think he will be a good fit. When they said that name, I was excited about it.
Well, here's what I like about it. He can play the three technique, that explosiveness, right? I talked to Jeff Loggan about him yesterday, and he said when he learns to anticipate the snap count, when the NFL instincts, because the NFL game is so much different, when that kick in, boy, he has something really incredible off the snap of the ball. He can play that three technique. He can play the five technique. He can play the strong side defensive end technique. You're getting a guy that can play in so many different spots and play it really well that it's up to Marion Hobby now to develop him. And we saw what Marion did when he was the defensive line coach at Clemson and what he did with this group last year to take that kind of talent and put it together with the coaching that we know exists here. Great formula.
It also fits a trend, and Dave mentioned it in one of his pressers during the draft, that the idea of having a three-technique, a versatile player, and rotating those guys, the Eagles played that way, the Jaguars played that way with Malik and Calais last year. It's clearly something that they want to keep going forward.
All right, from the best player available to the best of the rest, we'll cover that when we return on Jags Drive Time on TuneIn Radio and across Jaguars' social media channels.
Jags fans, experience Everbank Field like never before. Visit jaguars.com/tours and book a guided behind-the-scenes tour. Hear stories of great plays by Jaguars legends. Get up close and personal with the famous video boards. And see why the Travel Channel named Everbank Field is one of the 15 bucket list destinations for any football fan. Discounts available for children, first responders, and military. Visit jaguars.com/tours for tickets and details. See you at the bank.
What do you call a pack of Jaguars? A jamboree. The Jacksonville Jaguars want to offer a big thank you to the five local companies who've made the Jaguars Jamboree a party that never stops. Everbank, Baptist Health, Dreamfinders Homes, Publix, and U.S. Assure. Each of these partners provides unmatched support and dedication to the team year in and year out and help make game day special. Jaguars fans, join the Jamboree and support these companies and all the partners who support the team.
Hello?
It's Will there.
Yes, sir. This is Will Richardson.
Will Richardson, Dave Caldwell, Jacksonville Jaguars. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
do you know what's coming up next?
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy. You ready to go?
I need you to come in here and get to work now. You've been battling against those good defensive linemen there, so you're ready to go, right?
Yes, sir. I'm ready. I promise you I'm ready.
Be in great shape now, all right? Be in
great shape.
You're only a couple weeks away from coming. You realize that, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You'll be here for the mini camp in 2 weeks, all right? Very good.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations.
Best of the rest, big thing number two. We're looking at the rest of the draft picks here with DJ Chark, Ronnie Harrison, and who you just heard, Will Richardson. Guys, I love that phone call. The emotion it was cool.
It was a great job by our crew to get both sides of the call for the first time ever.
Right.
It gave it a unique spin that we hadn't heard. The reaction of Will Richardson, who I think a lot of people thought was worthy of a second-round grade, but some off-the-field indiscretions in his early years at NC State pushed him down. The relief in his voice was so incredible. That's the human side of football coming right through.
Well, and he's had some off-field stuff, and he's taken the right approach in the sense of being very willing to address it, knowing on the conference call with the media the other day, he knew it was going to be the first question to come up. It's hard to tell from people, but you know, I don't know Will Richardson,
no.
But you certainly hear in his voice a kid who it jibes up with what Coughlin, I believe, said of he realizes that football could be taken away, doesn't want that to happen, wants to be a professional football player, is saying and doing the right things, makes you think that he will have the life in order, if you will. And it's the second
Can't
year
imagine
in a row.
Tom taking him if he wasn't convinced that he would.
Right. And it's the second year in a row, in the fourth round, they've taken a little bit of a risk. Dede Westbrook was fourth round last year.
Wasn't a problem at all.
It seems to be, at some point, if you're going to get bargains late in the draft, sometimes you must take a risk on what is perceived as character. Fourth round seems to be their risk tolerance level.
Right.
It makes sense. If either Westbrook or Richardson work out to be a long-time starting player and one of them doesn't, well, if you took that sort of gamble, hey, we had one fourth-round pick hit, the other one, that's okay. That seems like a logical percentage-based system to take that risk.
Crystal ball business. You got to be able to look and see what a guy is capable of doing on the field and how he'll manage himself and his money off of it. Let's go back in chronological order, though. DJ Chark. Tell everyone the story. You were standing in the hallway waiting for some of the principals to come through the draft room. They would talk to you and then go on down and talk to the media.
Right.
You got a look at Keenan McCardell's reaction. Mm-hmm. Can you share it with us?
Yes. So I was out there 5 minutes normally before they made the pick. So I would
hand gestures and all.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I would hear the reaction, and it was a huge cheer. You guys heard it too in this room. And Keenan comes out and he looks at me and he, let's go. Like running down the hallway, fist in the air, excited.
That says something about what he thinks of DJ Chark, and not just the outward expression of it. Mm-hmm. He was passionate as a player. Clearly, he's passionate as a coach too.
I also think they had just put the food out. So that was big too, because it was pretty good.
So it was a combo.
It was pretty good.
I took it as a player.
Okay, gotcha.
But by far, that was the most reaction I saw out of any coach all weekend.
So this is a guy, and both Dave and Tom said we had a first-round grade on this guy. And I think a lot of the mock drafts, for whatever those are worth, had him at the bottom of the first round. 6'3", 200 pounds, 4.340 speed.
I mean, and they backed up that thought that he was a first-round pick by trying to trade up. The last 15 picks before they got him, they tried to trade up as high as – I think he was pick 61. I know they were trying to get up to at least 50. It shows you they were worried about losing him. And as somebody said – sometimes the trades you don't make are the ones that work out.
So what does he do for the offense? I mean, besides the deep speed and move the safeties.
Well, I think that's the first thing he does. And it's also interesting that it's a trend, and people get tired of hearing it. We always talk about the blocking with this team's receivers. And every time we talk about it, I invariably get emails saying, who cares if they can block? Well, this team cares if they can block. It's a trait that Marquise Lee has. It's a trait that Shark has. So they're clearly looking for that. You would think that initially what he will give you is a stretch the field, which will take players out of the box and help the running game. But if you had a first-round grade on him, you certainly believe that he's going to be more than just a guy who runs 40 yards downfield, comes back and goes back and runs 40 yards downfield again. I think it will probably take time for him to develop that. There's a reason that he wasn't taken in the top 10, so there's things he has to develop. Route running, preciseness, those NFL things. He's with the right guy to learn that in Keenan McCardell.
All of a sudden, they have a lot more speed on the field. Westbrook's a guy who can get up the field. Marquise can get up the field.
Keenan Cole, that's his.
Oh, yeah.
Strength, so.
I mean, you have legit speed, which really opens the game up for
and
Leonard Fournette.
And Moncrief can run.
Yeah. And we haven't seen that yet, but obviously the numbers say he can. Explosive addition to the offense. And a guy, it looks like he's got a great catch radius. So, in other words, if your quarterback's not as accurate on the deep ball, and I don't think that's Blake Bortles' great strength, you've got a guy who can go and get it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important. That's what Allen Robinson did, but he didn't do it with that kind of speed.
Right.
Now you got a guy with incredible speed.
Shark fits that very similar to Brian in that sense of you would think he's in a rotation this year. You think he contributes. I don't know how many games he'll start because I think Lee and Moncrief are going to start with Cole coming in. But certainly you could foresee this being a one-year deal for Moncrief. And then Shark stepping in to take his place and playing opposite Marquise Lee.
Also, electrifying punt returner when he got the opportunity as well. Okay, on to Ronnie Harrison, the safety from Alabama, who is a guy that, again, a lot of teams had bottom of the first, top of the second round. Comes in, doesn't appear like that's a need pick, but again, you've got two veterans with the big salary cap numbers, so he's a need pick from the same perspective Bryant was.
It would be shocking if he's not starting by his second year. I think this year it was a need pick in this sense, need for 2019, but also need in that, you know, if there was a spot where they didn't feel incredibly deep on defense last year, it was probably at safety. You had Colvin as the nickelback, so you felt okay if you didn't want Ramsey and Boye to get hurt, but you felt okay if Aaron had moved out there. You didn't love it at safety. And I think that gives them some depth. And he's clearly a good special teams player immediately, which to me, after the third round, that's where this draft is really going to help them immediately is on special teams.
And the final thought on special teams, Jags pulled a punter in the seventh round because punters were all off the board. In fact, this guy from Mississippi State didn't show up in a lot of the draft guides. But if Jody Camillus is fired up about him, if this is Jody's guy, Joe's reputation as a special teams coordinator in the NFL has to mean a lot.
And my understanding is they looked hard for a punter this offseason, wanted to make this happen, wanted to find the right punter to bring in. They obviously feel like they got their guy because they released Brad Nordman yesterday, and the punter room is different. It's only one room guy, but
it is. Last year they opened up with Jason Meyer and Brad Nordman,
right?
And
Carson Tinker.
Yeah, Carson Tinker. Yeah, it's been so long since he's been on the field. They went through three different long snappers, mm-hmm. and now you've got two different kickers. So,
well, long snappers, room. Remember, were not by choice.
Oh, no. No, because of the injury to Carson. Injury, right, so. Absolutely. So completely different room there, and we'll see how that one plays out. When we come back, we go back to the issue of the Jags roster. Is it the best in the NFL, as Daniel Jeremiah said? We'll talk about that here on Jags Drive Time on TuneIn Radio and across Jaguars social media channels.
What do you call a pack of Jaguars? A jamboree. The Jacksonville Jaguars want to offer a big thank you to the five local companies who've made the Jaguars Jamboree a party that never stops. Everbank, Baptist Health, Dreamfinders Homes, Publix, and U.S. Assure. Each of these partners provides unmatched support and dedication to the team year in and year out and help make game day special. Jaguars fans, join the Jamboree and support these companies and all the partners who support the team.
Jags fans, experience Everbank Field like never before. Visit jaguars.com/tours and book a guided behind-the-scenes tour. Hear stories of great plays by Jaguars legends. Get up close and personal with the famous video boards. And see why the Travel Channel named Everbank Field is one of the 15 bucket list destinations for any football fan. Discounts available for children, first responders, and military. Visit jaguars.com/tours for tickets and details. See you at the bank.
Getting our team better, and you know the process between myself, Coach Coughlin, and Dave, really from a standpoint of a coaching, I can't speak for them, was excellent. You know, we were able to say, hey, listen, here's where we are as a team. This is what we're looking for in players. This is what we'd really like. So I think from all that, you know, we were able to help ourselves, you know, in a lot of different areas. And at the end of the day, you're trying to bring in players that, you know, that going to make your team better and help you win.
That's head coach Doug Marone talking about how successful this draft was for himself and his staff. So successful that it caught the attention of a lot of national media that say this roster is now the best in the NFL.
And Daniel Jeremiah led the charge on Saturday evening. He'll be on Jaguars.com live tomorrow, 1 o'clock Eastern time. We'll ask him about that. Peter Schrager made the comment on Good Morning Football on the NFL Network as well. So it's not just one man. And look, I know there are people out there going, whoa, whoa, whoa. One playoff run and all of a sudden you've gone to the best roster in the NFL, you know, Blake Bortles is your quarterback, right? And so, like, I get it. The best quarterback in the NFL doesn't sit on this roster. But that doesn't mean it isn't potentially the best roster in the NFL.
Well, it's awfully good, and I think what is catching people's eye who really scout is a couple of things. The fact that you do have a little bit of a perfect storm and that you were able to go out in free agency the last couple of years, get Pro Bowl guys immediately, meaning Malik Jackson, Campbell, Boye, and they're still here at a point in time where they fit under the cap. So you've got a veteran presence, and you basically took a team where most people in the NFL liked most of their starters, on defense especially, and you added guys who people liked in the draft a little bit higher than maybe they were taken, meaning Brian, meaning
Ronnie Harrison,
meaning Char. So it very much looks like it's set up the way you want it. Now, any naysayer will say, well, these young guys haven't, we all know what they haven't done. But sitting here on May 1st, it looks like a deep roster, which is rare in this league. Like, you've got some places where if you were injured, you could plug guys in. That's pretty rare. So there's no such thing anymore as 53 great players on every team. The salary cap doesn't permit it, and no team ever had it. But within the context, when you're looking around the rest of the NFL, this roster is in very good shape. It's young with a good mix of veteran. It's ready to roll right now.
And here's what I like about it. It's ready to roll into the future as well. This is where you feel the impact of a veteran general manager like John Idzik, who Dave brought in to help strategically with the cap. So you're built to win right now with a lot of those high-dollar free agents. And let's remember, they were acquired at a moment where you weren't paying a quarterback the big $20 million salary, right? I think last year Blake made $6.5 million. So now, as you have guys who are here to win now, you have talent that you can pay into the future. Mm-hmm. You've got Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack and Yannick Ngakoue in particular, a guy on every level of that defense who you're going to have to pay in the next couple of years, and you're going to have the salary structure because of the way that the contracts were built to be able to do that. It's the best of both worlds. Win now, funnel is full of young talent mm-hmm. so that you can win in the future, and they have the salary cap ability, the salary cap flexibility to be able to make this a sustained run. Look, you go back and look at those Colts teams that you covered. The most impressive thing to me, more so than even the Super Bowl that they won, was the fact, what do they have, 12 straight seasons of at least 10 wins?
It was 10, but pretty good.
10 of 12, right. Something like that? I mean, year in and year out, sustained excellence. Mm-hmm. And when I look at both the roster as it's constructed now and the cap as it stands today, they have the ability, with more good decisions, I mean, it doesn't just happen,
right.
but with more strategic thinking, like they have engaged with Tom and with Dave and with Doug and with John and with Tim, they have the ability now to control their own destiny and win at a prolonged pace.
And again, I think a big key, there are a lot of young guys that we're gushing about and talking about that we haven't seen them actually do it yet. So again, I think watching Brian, Smoot, these guys we're talking about develop, it is a key sub-storyline this year, a key sidebar, to use an old newspaper term, that we have to keep an eye on, because all this stuff we're talking about, if those guys can't play,
sure.
it's all out the window.
Well, let's not forget Cam Robinson over there anchoring right. the left side. They hope Richardson's a long-term anchor on the right. No, they've got to be able, but have you seen any signs from the Jaguars' development of players that they can't get them where they need to be?
No.
In other words, there's every reason to look at DJ Smoot. And I get the Taven Bryan and Ronnie Harrison and DJ. We got to see that. But you look at a guy like Smoot who contributed.
Now he developed very well by the end of last year.
Much greater pace than most people would be able to tell you.
You also look at the defense from last year and how healthy it was. You can't count on that again. So all this depth is going to be good for the salary cap and injuries as well.
And it goes back. That's just another reason why the best player available philosophy, to me, is always the best approach.
The way to go. Yeah.
When don't you need the best player available? You don't know when you will.
Right. Doug said himself in the press conference, he said, we can always use more defensive linemen. No matter the number, we can always use them.
Absolutely. And everyone uses the Eagles from last year as the example because they rotated them in and out. So, all right, let's take a break. When we come back, final segment here on Jags Drive Time. You know what time it is. Zone time. And we're back with the Ozone Snapshot after this on TuneIn Radio and Jags social media channels.
Jags fans, experience Everbank Field like never before. Visit jaguars.com/tours and book a guided behind-the-scenes tour. Hear stories of great plays by Jaguars legends. Get up close and personal with the famous video boards. And see why the Travel Channel named Everbank Field is one of the 15 bucket list destinations for any football fan. Discounts available for children, first responders, and military. Visit jaguars.com/tours for tickets and details. See you at the bank.
What do you call a pack of Jaguars? A jamboree. The Jacksonville Jaguars want to offer a big thank you to the five local companies who've made the Jaguars Jamboree a party that never stops. Everbank, Baptist Health, Dreamfinders Homes, Publix, and U.S. Assure. Each of these partners provides unmatched support and dedication to the team year in and year out and help make game day special. Jaguars fans, join the Jamboree and support these companies and all the partners who support the team.
Rolling right through your Tuesday morning here on Jags Drive Time. Brian Sexton, John Osier, Ashlyn Sullivan. Time for the Zone Snapshot. Miss Sullivan, what do you got for us?
Yes. Starting off here with Sad Sack. What about the Nortman? For an unproven rookie punter, nonetheless. That was D-U-M-B. That spells dumb, John.
Yeah, and it's I get that when you look at it, it's, oh my goodness, we let a veteran guy go, a trustworthy guy go. And there was some talk yesterday about, a lot of people played up the cap number with this, who are analyzing it. I don't think it was about the cap number.
Yeah, $2.35 million is not.
Well, it helps. I mean, it's going to save him $1 million, which is always good. This was about too much inconsistency last year. I don't want to say it was just about the AFC Championship game, but that low punch sure didn't help.
That's all you need
at that moment, and that happened too often. They wanted to make a change here. So you can say it was DUMB, but this was not like they were sitting there at the end of the draft and went, oh, let's take a punt. This was something that was thought out well in advance.
I had conversations with folks in January on the plane ride home about where they were going to go on special teams, and it was said to me, we're going to look at the punter.
Right. They didn't know where they were going. They knew where they weren't going
to
go.
No, no. They knew they had to change something there.
Yeah.
I'll say this on the money, too. $2.35 million isn't a significant amount of money. However, when you have a lot of money tied up near the top of the draft, on top of the roster, with a quarterback now that's getting a big paycheck, and the free agents that they brought in, including Norwell, saving $1 million, $1.5 million on a punter, there are some positions where you've got to be able to go at a more economical rate.
Right.
Punter is one of them for these guys. So saving that money this year on a seventh-round pick, they must feel confident in the pick, and it makes sense for the cap.
Well, let's be clear. If they thought he was a guy with the way they play and what they want to do, field position is important to them, if they thought it was great, they would pay it.
Yep.
Because it's that important to them. They needed to fix that spot.
What else is in your mailbag?
All right, let's go from Chris here. I think Alan Lazard was our steal in this draft. Many had him as a second to third round talent. Do you have any idea why he went undrafted?
He ran slow.
Yeah, and a little bit of an odd mix in the sense he's 6'4", 230. Ran, I think, a 4.55 receiver, maybe a 4.6.
Yeah, it was about a 4.6.
So that's a tough thing to overcome because, much like Allen Hurns a few years back, when you don't have anything at the combine that just dazzles you at that position, and the size, in his case, at that position, isn't enough to make up for a lack of speed. So can he play? Has he been productive? Yes.
I can tell you what I saw, right? Because I'm probably the only guy that watched the Iowa State-Kansas game in this room, you think? Anyone?
I would hope so.
That's a given.
Yeah. And he obviously was playing against my team, and every time the ball went his direction, he made a great catch. Mm-hmm. He was the best player on the field, which, you know, there weren't a lot of draftable players. I think one kid from Kansas and another kid from Iowa State. Mm-hmm. He stood out.
Mm-hmm.
But that tells you the difference between the pro game and the college game. He wasn't drafted, and he was the best player on the field in a Power 5 conference game. Seemed to me like he has, and again, I watched him once, a lot of instinct, understands the game, knows what the quarterback was doing, understood the offense, and was able to get himself into a position, despite the lack of speed, to make a play on the ball. Every time the ball went his direction, I thought he made a really good catch. Whether he can translate that to the NFL, whether we ever see that or not, but that was a name that I knew having watched him once. Mm-hmm.
To clarify, my understanding from a news story, I think he got a $40,000 bonus. He got a fairly hefty bonus for an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, priority guy.
There's not much difference there's no difference in terms of how they see him. But there's really not that much difference in a sixth-round pick, seventh-round pick, priority free agent. So it's hurtful for a player to not get drafted. But the old saying you hear, it really is true. For some guys, it's better to not be drafted. I think he's coming to a good spot. He's in a good situation. He'll have just as much chance of making the team as any fifth, sixth, seventh round pick.
You bet. And obviously his contribution will have to be on special teams.
Right.
What else you got?
Let's go Abe here. I understand the Jags wanting to acquire a tight end in the draft, but the talent never lined up with the pick. That happens. But I am surprised the Jags didn't even pick an undrafted tight end or two.
They like their guys, first of all.
People forget they signed Niles Paul.
The free agency.
And they signed Austin Seferian Jenkins. So they...
I didn't think people forgot that.
I would hope not.
You'd be surprised. but they're in a situation now, and I got emails like this, several of them. Why didn't they go after an undrafted? Well, they've got O'Shaughnessy. They've got Koyak. Realistically, if you're going after an undrafted guy at that position, you're taking a guy who is sort of those guys' level coming in, maybe even a little low. O'Shaughnessy was a fifth-round pick. So they're not looking for guys. They're looking for guys who can help them. So they would have liked to have gotten a tight end in this draft. That was the one position. When you go into the draft, there's a bunch of positions you want. That was one of the ones they would have liked to have had. Board kept getting away from it. Never quite got around to getting a tight end. They would have loved to have one who could upgrade the spot, but they didn't really care about just getting a guy.
Well, and maybe Alan Lazard is a guy who transitions to tight end. 6'4", 230. You remember, you weren't covering it at the time, but you may remember a receiver named Ernest Wilford, who at the tail end of his career here transitioned into that tight end group. He was about the same size, same measurable, same speed. Maybe they see Lazard as that. Because you know they're going to keep five receivers, and there's not a sixth spot available at this moment. Maybe he figures something out. I haven't had a chance to ask that question, but when you see a big, talented receiver who's slow,
you automatically think that.
Maybe you think that. Yeah. Or slower, I should say. 4.6 is faster than I could run.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's pretty,
yeah, exactly.
It's pretty damn fast.
For this room, it's pretty fast. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's clarify that one. Slower. Anything else?
That's all I got.
I'm good.
You ready to wrap it?
Sure.
All right. So
with
that'll
your
do it. The nod is in, and we are out. Thanks so much for joining us on Jags Drive Time on a Tuesday. Look for us next week right here on TuneIn Radio and the Jaguar social media channels. Have a great week, everybody.